This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you'll play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said, she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Thursday, May 2nd, and this is a TBOY.
This is the best one yet.
Great reason why.
Markets dipped. That's not the reason why.
You want to tell them why?
I think markets are getting greedy.
Yeah.
The Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, spoke. He said, we're not cutting interest rates.
People wanted an interest rate bar.
We shouldn't have expected that.
But the real reason markets may have jumped? Jennifer's birthday.
Mom, happy birthday.
Congratulations.
You are a wonderful lady. Former homecoming queen, state of Florida.
We actually did a separate birthday recording for you, which we'll send to you separately.
We'll send that to you on the side.
Now, three wonderful stories. Jack and I got a great mix in here. What do we got?
First is Molson Coors, the Canadian-American beer giant. Its stock fell 8% because beer is having a mid-beer crisis.
But we are fascinated by their innovation investments. We're talking about kombucha.
Second story is Royal Caribbean. It jumped 7% because it is a pricing power superhero.
It also had an epic wave season. Don't take that literally. We'll jump into it in a bit.
Third and final story is Fitbit. This is our survivor of the day.
Hanging in there.
That company will not go away.
It can't stop.
It's not profitable. It used to be. And it's finding a way to get on the Snack Daily podcast.
Here's the secret. Partner with everybody you see. You've got a friend in everyone.
Now, before we go to the stories, though.
Big question.
Do you want to know the most quiet part of an airplane?
We were fascinated to learn this. We wanted to know, where should we sit? There are like 100 options every time you choose.
So a Wall Street Journal reporter had the best job ever. He got to take like 100 flights.
It's also the worst job ever.
Good point.
Yeah, let's talk to this.
So he had a little noise-ometer.
Device, which, by the way, how did that get through TSA?
Good question. So everybody loves a good travel hack. He decided that, well, he didn't decide. He proved that the front of the airplane is the quietest place.
Shocker. Like, must be nice when you're up in business class.
That's not it, though. That was kind of odd.
Let's keep going.
A wide-body airplane is quieter than a narrow-body airplane.
And how do you find that out?
Well, on Expedia, you can figure out the plane model.
And then you do like a cross-reference thing?
Google it.
Call it like a friend at the CIA.
Now, here's the really important key.
Everyone listen up.
When you're picking the seats.
This is big.
Look at that little airplane chart and find a seat that is in front of the two engines.
Exactly.
It makes a big difference.
Huge difference. In fact, how big a difference is it?
Like 15 decibels.
And if you don't have your decibelometer on you right now, we'll tell you how much that is. That's about the sound of a smoothie machine.
Perspective. The back of the plane, right by the bathrooms and where they make drinks for you.
Where you don't want to be.
That's like 85 decibels, which is a smoothie machine or a garbage disposal.
So next time you're whipping up your like homemade Jamba Juice situation, put your ear next to it, wait an hour, and then realize you should not be in that part of the plane.
Your ears will also become numb.
Now, before we hit our stories, listen to these keywords.
You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get some legal out the way. The snacks about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA/SIPC.
cracked open the story.
For the first story, Jack, Molson Coors stock fell 8%, even though it's got an innovation program that it's just like whipping out.
Can we talk about the first sentence in the earnings
report? Please, this thing is bold.
Molson Coors has defined brewing greatness for more than two centuries.
That's how they begin their earnings. That is liquid courage right there.
That's liquid courage.
Now, to keep on with that liquid courage trend, they were pretty excited over at Molson Coors when they revealed how they did for the first quarter.
It was a very optimistic, positive sounding earnings report.
When you kind of sober up, though, and look at the numbers.
And actually read the words.
It's a little bit more concerning.
So, volume, the actual amount of drinks sold.
Beers a liquid.
Decreased by 4.7% worldwide for Molson Coors.
Now, let me tell you, Jack, that was the sixth straight quarter that's happened.
That's a lot. A problem.
I remember I had a statistics class. I heard two or three things happening as a trend. Four, five, or six, that's reality.
Is a serious problem.
Prices, also, by the way, if you are into, you know, premiumization.
So they're trying to offset the drop in volume by increased prices.
Right, and they're calling it premiumization.
Which we're calling BS on.
Because
are they
just
changing
means,
the drinks, or are they just raising the prices?
It means they're raising the prices. They raised them like 4.8% on your average
beer. Sounds like rip-off-ization.
They need to come up with a new-ization. So what we found fascinating was how desperate and focused they are on innovation.
Now remember, this company is called Molson Coors. Molson is a Canadian beer brand. Coors is an American beer brand.
Very North American.
What they do best is macro beers.
Exactly. Now, they launched something called an innovation program, and Jack and I were fascinated in this, so we looked into it a little further. What is the key win for the innovation program?
Some companies have sustainability goals to
Very
be
bold.
Like renewable energy by 2025.
Very nice.
They have a goal to have non or low alcoholic beverages in all markets by 2025.
Where they operate. And they're doing this beginning with non-beers.
Yeah. They have a new drink called Arnold Palmer Spiked.
Sounds ambiguous.
It sounds like a John Daly, which is half iced tea, half lemonade, spiked with vodka.
But when we looked into this one a little further, we couldn't figure out what it's spiked with.
Well, we know it's a non-beer alcoholic drink, but they were not telling us what it's spiked with.
What they did tell us is that it had quote-unquote rapid growth over the last quarter.
Okay, so that's one innovative area. Another
then,
is Tap Ventures.
Right, that's the VC arm for Molson Coors.
They're going out and they're buying entire companies.
Literally, they just bought like a California kombucha company based in San Francisco.
Which is called Clearly Kombucha.
And they recently invested in like a chai tea situation, alcohol free.
Let's talk about the third leg of the innovation stool.
Oh my God.
Please. Cannabis.
Really focused on cannabis.
It has a joint venture that is developing a whole drink lineup of cannabis infused CBD drinks, but they're waiting for Canada to clarify whether edibles are legal.
Right. Technically, weed is legal in Canada, but there's some like confusion about what's the deal with edibles in particular.
It's policy ambiguity.
So literally, the executives over at Molson Coors said, we've got a whole lineup of cannabis-infused drinks ready.
Just waiting to pull the trigger.
In October. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies up north over at Molson Coors?
Their beer market is shrinking. That's the biggest problem.
Alcohol sales overall in the U.S., they've slipped a bit.
But beer sales are down the worst. In the U.S., they dropped by 1.5% last year, and I think they fell the year before.
That means the size of the liquid pie, it's shrinking, and competition is vicious.
Okay. Budweiser, that's the big beast in the room.
Yep.
It is a marketing powerhouse.
How much did it spend?
It bought 8 Super Bowl ads in February.
That's like 6 economies worth.
It's pretty obnoxious, the amount of ads they have, and Molson has to fight it.
And then Molson's facing Corona, which is owned by Constellation Brands.
Corona, whose beer is just about gluten-free, everybody, I have to remind you again.
He loves
it. It is
that.
About to pass Coors as the number 2 biggest family of beer brands in the U.S.
So if you're looking at this whole beer slipping situation, you're Molson Coors, you've got a way harder strategy than you would have in any other scenario.
You're not trying to find new drinkers. You're
No.
trying to steal drinkers from the competition and defend your own drinkers from Corona.
And that is harder. For our second story, Jack, you didn't have to wear a bikini for this, but I appreciate the commitment. Royal Caribbean Cruises jumped 7% because it's become a pricing power superhero.
Caribbean, by the way, 1 R, 2 B's.
Yeah, we learned that
That's
the hard way.
That's how you spell it, everybody.
Very true. And it had a record wave season. Real thing.
Wave season is from January to March.
Not a literal thing.
It's when everyone like goes down south for vacation.
Yeah, inside joke among the travel
wave
agents.
Wave season.
Yeah, now you're like in the crowd with
Lariat
travel agents.
Barefoot travel agents.
Very
loves that one.
Cool. Now, Jack, you have like a personal connection here with Royal Caribbean,
I know
right?
a thing or two about Royal Caribbean.
He's hit a few all-you-can-eat buffets, this guy.
I was 22.
Yeah.
Didn't have a hair on my face.
Nope.
Had a suit that was way too big, and I was a fresh investment banking analyst.
Was not living the slim fit lifestyle.
Royal Caribbean, my first memo.
So what'd you do?
Well, I learned that there legally based in Liberia, which is a West African country.
That sounds typical.
They have some moral flexibility on labor and tax laws there. So Royal Caribbean's taking advantage of that.
As opposed to if they were based in Miami, for example, where their headquarters are.
That's where they're actually working, but
legally it's a little more, you know.
So questionable ethics there, but they are trying to cut their greenhouse gas emissions by 35% by next year.
Very nice.
There you go.
Very nice. Now, the earnings report really impressed investors.
Profits rose by 14% last quarter to $250 million.
Ticket sales are up. Onboard splurging is up.
Shares are up 7%. Close to a record high.
Now, there was one bit of warning here, and it was that their profit forecast for the rest of the year got downgraded.
This is embarrassing. The first reason's really embarrassing.
Yeah.
So they're calling this in their earnings report the Grand Bahama Shipyard Incident.
Yeah, of 09 or 19.
Sounds like a Tom Clancy novel.
This one's intense.
Two cranes fell on one of their cruise ships during a routine maintenance.
No big deal. Turns out that cruise had to be like totally canceled, of course.
The ship's out of commission for a full month. Three cruises, you know, week-long cruises are getting canceled.
Because of a single crane.
These guys got to work on their nautical risk management. My father-in-law could help him with that.
It's always a communications issue. Then the second reason, we're kind of out of their control.
Yeah, the stronger U.S. dollar means that foreign, they actually own half of a German cruise line. And you know Germans love cruises.
Everyone does.
But the profits from that are worth less because of the stronger U.S. dollar. Right. And second, the higher fuel prices.
Right. Oil prices are up and the ships are not Tesla-sized yet. So
it costs money.
So investors forgave them for one big reason. Jack, nice lead in. What's the takeaway for our buddies over at Royal Caribbean?
Pricing power. Royal Caribbean has it.
This is a corporate superpower of pricing power.
It's like being able to see through walls, but instead you can just make profits.
And just charge people a lot more money. It's been raising prices, but people are paying for those higher prices.
That's called pricing power.
It's very strong.
Royal Caribbean communicated that through its net yield.
Can we talk about the net yield?
Net yield is basically just a cruise line thing.
It sounds complicated.
It's basically what the price is.
Yeah.
And their net yield rose 7.5% to 9% this year.
Now, this is a reflection that people are paying so much of a strong economy, people wanting to travel, get out of the house.
And a solid product. I mean, people are willing to pay more to do it.
Now, it's not just them, though. This news boosted all cruise company stocks. We're talking Norwegian,
Carnival,
Caribbean, and Carnival.
There you go. The trifecta.
Powerful. For our third and final story, we've got our survivor of the day here.
Fitbit.
Yes.
You're still hanging on.
It's still there.
They're still on the stock market.
They're like that one guy in your like spin class who's in the back where there's no fan and needs a defibrillator after the class.
I want to see a motivational poster that says, don't give up, and it's just Fitbit.
And a cat. Now, Fitbit released its earnings yesterday, and what it showed us is that it's really focused on partnerships.
Partnerships are the only way they've been hanging
around. But the first thing we noticed in this thing is just how freakishly seasonal sales of Fitbits are.
Christmas is a really fun time for Fitbit.
The other 11 months of the year, not that fun.
They're going for this Mother's Day promotion now. Mom, happy birthday.
Yeah.
You don't need a Fitbit.
No, Jennifer.
You are in phenomenal shape.
You definitely don't. It'd be weird if I got you one.
So sales in the first... Yes, it would. Sales in the first quarter were less than half of the fourth quarter, which had Christmas.
Right. So it looks like sales dropped from the holidays.
But you got to do an apples to apples comparison.
Exactly.
The first quarter of this year compared to the first quarter of last year.
Right. When you do that comparison,
rose. So there is still hope.
Now, after we looked at that, we then looked at the number of fitness trackers and smartwatches that they were selling.
Rose by 36%.
Very nice.
Sounds very good.
But again, we got a little asterisk here.
The average price of those Fitbits were down 19%.
So they were selling more Fitbits, but they were selling them at a lower price.
So there's two ways to think about it. Either they have no pricing power, like Royal Caribbean has,
or
they're just trying to be affordable.
So they used to be a profitable company, our friends over at Fitbit. Now they're not. And it's basically because Apple Watch happened.
Yes. Through 2015, Fitbit was riding this new health tracker thing to the moon.
Just crazy. It was sprinting with this
thing. The stock was exploding. It had a phenomenal IPO.
Then
profits were there.
16 happened.
That's when smartwatch.
17 happened.
That's when the Apple Watch was thriving.
Then 2018 happened.
That's when Apple Watch kept thriving.
So all those years we just mentioned, losses kept building and building.
It was unprofitable this past quarter as well.
So Fitbit's turned around and said, you know what? It's looked in the mirror. It said, we got to kind of pick ourselves up. and do something here.
And it's partnerships.
And it's partnerships.
They're constantly reaching for ways to stay relevant.
It's like someone who just showed up on the first day of school and just wants to be friends with everyone, which is great.
Now, its big bet is healthcare.
True.
It thinks it can convince doctors and health insurance companies to slap a Fitbit on your wrist and it'll make you work out more and lower your healthcare
costs. I'm walking 20,000 steps a day, so therefore I should have to pay less for health insurance.
Now, Health Solutions grew by 70%, but it's still...
For Fitbit.
Last quarter, yeah.
Right.
But it's still just 10% of the total business. So
then
it's not there yet.
We notice it has a little bit, some more questionable partnerships.
This is more of a gimmick, this next one. Yeah. Snapchat, which owns Bitmoji.
Yeah.
You can put your little Bitmoji as the background of your clock on your smartwatch.
So adorable partnership, not necessarily a game changer.
Not a game changer.
And then the third and final partnership we found.
Activity.
Oh my God, yeah.
Adidas and Blue Apron. I don't really get this one.
They kind of teamed up together, Fitbit. They all got together. It's like a group running thing.
If you get more Blue Apron mailbox deliveries, you'll get more Fitbit
points. The more points you do on Fitbit and can track, maybe the more discounts and points you can get on these other products.
It's still alive.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who are hanging in there over at Fitbit?
To survive with Apple Watch as the competition, it is focusing on price.
Exactly. The stock is down 90% from its high point in 2015.
Investors aren't expecting much
but
from Fitbit.
Remember before we said that the price was lowered on Fitbit stuff?
Prices were down 19% this past quarter.
Very strategic move. Because
that could be to Fitbit's benefit.
Exactly.
Look at Apple.
Their key competitor.
Apple would never lower prices.
No.
I'm never going to say never.
But
they're very unlikely to lower prices on a product.
Because it's such a premium product.
So Fitbit can market itself as the discount smartwatch and the discount health tracker.
So that's the opportunity Fitbit's seeing, is maybe a lower price can help it save.
And it can get the bargain hunters and the health nuts.
Great combo.
Who want them.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us?
Molson Coors is innovating itself away from beer because beer is a shrinking market.
They did not expect to be buying kombucha back in like 1786 when they were founded in Montreal.
Royal Caribbean is flexing its pricing power and people are still paying.
People will pay anything to get on one of those ridiculously long slides. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I went on one when I was 13.
They're always really long.
I was actually mostly just by the ice cream bar.
Third and
final story. Fitbit, it has no pricing power, but lower prices might actually be the key to its survival.
If you're down on life, just make a partnership, a friend or a partnership.
That's Fitbit's strategy.
Now, we have a wonderful snack fact of the day sent in to us by Daniel Mossbarger in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
AKA Deep Dish Dan.
Great nickname.
Run with it, Dan.
The #delete Facebook campaigns, you might have heard that they failed.
Yeah.
There's actually a survey that shows that 15 million users ditched Facebook in America.
And most of them were like under the age of 36.
And that's all since 2017.
Now, Facebook did add new users to make up for that.
So overall, it's either flat or like barely grown in the US.
But there was a drop in delete Facebook.
Now, those users are probably just going to Instagram though, which Facebook also owns.
Right. That's a good key asterisk right there.
Couple other big stories happened yesterday.
First, Clorox announced that because the flu season wasn't that big this year, they actually sold fewer wet wipes than they expected.
Yeah, disinfectant wipes are a big part of their business.
A little awkward.
Bad for Clorox, good for society. And then Square, the electronic payments company, its shares are down 7%, and we'll tell you why.
Now, remember to send in your facts of the day to us at Robinhood Snacks
on Twitter, and give us your hometown too.
We love getting that.
I love talking to you today.
Can't wait tomorrow. The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts, who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC, and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt, and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.